Testing, 1, 2, 3.
We were talking about family vacations and your friends and the kind of things that they did.
Travel. We were traveling south.
You went to Troy.
I just get the name of it. Troy, North Carolina. I don't recall having friends who went away to camp all summer, or who did anything particularly exciting in the summer. I know in the college years, we either worked or traveled. Of course, as I said before, I always had a job if I wanted, but I was always working.
During your college years, did you do any traveling, or were you working during the summers?
No, I worked. Again, one summer I remember going to North Carolina with my brother.
What is your brother's
name? Yeah, your brother's name.
Lawrence Layton. L-E-Y-T-O-N. My brother.
The younger brother.
Mm-hmm. I, of course, made friends in Pittsburgh, and I used to say I used to live around. I, even though I stayed, made my home with an aunt and uncle in later years, I did spend time with friends in the city on weekends or for parties. I was traveling back and forth a lot. By the time I was a senior in high school, I realized that my friends would not be the friends that I had made in Corvallis. We would all be going our separate ways. And so most of my friends were Jewish friends in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Now, could you go on maybe and tell us when you met your husband and happened and when and how and where you lived?
We have a problem. We can't remember how we met. We have many mutual friends. My husband is 6 years older than I. When I came to Pitt, he had already left for Europe. He went to medical school in England, so that we did not meet until he was actually in practice, in general practice. And I was a senior in college. It was when we met. I don't know where or how, but we have many mutual friends, and somehow we met. So that it was about a year after I graduated. It was the first year that I was working, but we were married. And what year? 1938.
That she remembers.
I do remember some things. He was in general practice and I was working, and we lived at the Aberdeen Apartments for 6 months. They said we always came back to the same neighborhood and shopped at the same grocery store on the corner of Baker's McRae. I would work in those years. If you were a junior executive, you know, you were not subject to a time schedule, so you worked 40 hours, 50 hours, whatever. And Will was had evening hours, so that we were both working at quite a rough pace. Then we bought a house on 4th Street in Squirrel Hill, small house, and we lived there for 3 years until Will decided go to Chicago Lion, or was accepted at Chicago Lion Hospital for his residency in obstetrics. And that's when I quit my job at Kaufman's, and we went to Chicago for almost 3 years. And those were the war years, 1941, 40, 41, 42, and that's where Alan was born in Chicago in 1942. And then we came back to Pittsburgh and bought a house on Marlborough Road. And that's where Nan was born in 1945. We lived there for 15 years. And moved to an apartment for 10 years and then moved here.
Oh, so you've moved around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You have only the two children?
Mm-hmm.
Alan and Nan.
Mm-hmm. Alan is now 33 and Nan is 30.
Are they married?
They are married.
Grandchildren?
Yes.
How many grandchildren do you have?
Four grandchildren. Our son Alan was just married this year in January, and he married a young widow with two children, so we have instant grandchildren. And our daughter has two, a boy and a girl, and they live in Palm Springs, California. Her husband is practicing medicine there. She married a Pittsburgher, and I would say that Alan married a Pittsburgher. I think she's from the Kingsport. And so we are rather inbred in Pittsburgh.
How do you feel about Pittsburgh then?
Well, I'm very chauvinistic about Pittsburgh. I really have very deep roots and ties here. I at this point in my life wouldn't think of living anywhere else. I find it very exciting, the development of Pittsburgh. I feel a part of it. I think the city has much to offer in the way of cultural advantages and living advantages, climate. Last night, I was just saying to Flossie Wolf, whom I met at the lecture at Beth Shelton, this has been a fantastic week. We heard of even last Thursday. I didn't have an opportunity to hear Dr. Freehoff Friday night, but his was an exciting lecture, and Tuesday night, some of us had a very interesting opportunity to hear a rabbi by the name of David Hartman at Federation Building, who was electrifying, really. Did you hear him?
No, but I've heard a lot about him. He must have been.
Well, that was Wednesday night. Tuesday, he spoke at the Jewish Community Center annual meeting, and Wednesday we heard of the Federation. Last night we heard Bayard Rustin, and tonight we have Isaac Stern. I said to Flossie laughingly, you know, some people say there's nothing to do in Pittsburgh, and I just haven't had enough minutes in the day to turn around this week.
How would you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh, let's say, yesterday, as far as socially or culturally, politically?
Well, I think we're certainly greatly enriched today. First of all, just living in the city, it's a much cleaner city. I do remember the days when it was not pleasant to live in the Pittsburgh area. It was filthy. Housekeeping was difficult. Even dressing was difficult. There was soot and grime on the windowsills and on your shirt collars, and it was not a pleasant to live from that point of view. But it was always an exciting city because there was always the pulse of people, of labor and of movement and of industry. I've had another advantage, I think, an interesting advantage. About 10 years ago, I took a job at the university in the Office of Cultural Exchange, where I became the liaison person for the university with the 18 nationality committees that were responsible for the nationality rooms. I have this beautiful book here to attest to my job. And I got to know different aspects of the city that I had really never known before. When I was at Pitt, I felt I knew a great deal about the city because of the debate society and our ability to travel around and talk to different groups. We got into different areas. But then later, when I became involved with the Jewish community, you become rather insular in your contacts, and you just get to know the Jewish community, and you begin to think maybe that's the only community there is. My experiences at Pitt brought me in contact with many ethnic groups who are doing, many of them, much of the same things that we do in the Jewish community. But at least I got to know people who lived in different areas of the city and people with different backgrounds. And it was most fascinating. And I was there for about 4 years until the program got too big for me to handle with my family and my other responsibilities. But I'm still in contact with the program. I'm a consultant. I have been invited to sit in on many seminars when people from other nations come to learn about our habits and our organizations. And I have been in a position to explain the women's volunteer aspects, which is completely unknown to many of the foreign nations, where their programs, our programs, our volunteer programs are taken over by government, where women do not participate in volunteer activities as they do here.
Are you talking about Pittsburgh activities?
Yes, Pittsburgh activities, which, of course, are reflected in other cities, too. When you're talking to people from other countries, the Pittsburgh activities are typical of American activities. So that 4-year experience at Pitt was really marvelous. And my contacts at Pitt continue, and I still feel very identified with the university. I know what's going on.
How did you come to that position?
It was really a fluke. At that point, I felt interested in going back to the university in some fashion. I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go back to school or what. And I have very good friends in the personnel agency business, and they had gotten a request from the university for a community person to take over this job. This was just when Dr. Litchfield had come onto the scene and was changing several departments, and had really changed the department in which the National Audit Committees function. And he had brought his man in to head this department, and his man had brought his own staff. There was nobody there who knew Pittsburgh who was interested in dealing with the National Audit Committee. So my friends told me about this job, which sounded interesting to me because I knew the university. As a student, I had never been a part of the National Audit Committee's program because it was very new then. After I graduated in 1937, and the program had just started then, and I was not one of the Quo Vadis gals who was interested in that because I was doing other things. So I really didn't know too much about the National Audit Committees as such, but I did know Pittsburgh better than anybody else they had there. Anyway, I took the job, which was a part-time job at the beginning, supposedly. And it just grew and grew and became very involved. But I loved it. I had a lot of fun. And as I say, it was a learning experience, again, about the city. So I feel that I know the city of Pittsburgh. I know many groups in the city. I've worked with United Way when it was United Fund. I've been on the United Fund board, and I've sat with the industrialists of the city, representatives of big industry who really make the city run. At one time, I was interested in politics and democratic politics, and I know some of the political figures who are still
active. Did you get involved
active.
In politics?
I got involved.
At any time?
I got involved, first of all, to go way back to the time when Robert Corbett was our debate coach and then later got into Republican politics. He wanted to interest me in Republican politics, and I did travel with him a little when he was running for Congress until the time that he wanted me to work for Alfred Landon for president. And I was never a Republican, and I just couldn't do that, so I lost that contact in any Republican area. My Democratic experience, I guess, was a natural one for my debate experience because all the people I knew in the debate society were Democrats and were interested in politics. And I campaigned for Annex Alburn, and I campaigned for I never campaigned for anybody who won, so that was the people that I campaigned
for. Did you ever think of running for anything yourself, Marcel?
No, I was once asked if I thought I would like to run for city council. Uh-huh. No, I might have been tempted at one time, but I will say that I'm in a family that is not politically oriented. It would not favor anything like that. I at one time was an active member of ADA. I haven't been for many years. When I lived at the Neville House, I became a committee woman in that district, and I was involved in the election process. I sat at the, I was the Democratic committee woman, and I had to sit at the polling place during elections and check people and so forth. So I did go to some ward meetings and had that exposure in that ward, which was the fourth ward, which encompasses Lower Oakland too. A learning experience because the apartment block is not typical of that ward at all. But I've done that, and that's out. And which all goes back to the fact that I think I've had many experiences in the city of Pittsburgh that have put me in touch with lots of different kinds of people, and I have a feeling for the makeup of the city. The different areas, I know my way around. I don't get lost. I can go to Castle Shannon and Brookline and Swickley and Coriopolis and East Liberty and McKeesport.
Tell us about some of the organizations. And you mentioned the United Way. You know, we know about the Jogging Pit and politics. Anything else? The other the Jewish organizations.
Well, too. I was. Let's see. What did you know? A lot of years have gone by. When my children went to Whiteman School, I was president of the PTA. That was another experience, being involved in the larger PTA movement. And at that time, we were doing the same things they're doing today, trying to get some more state aid, sending people to Harrisburg, going to Harrisburg, trying to present the Pittsburgh Board of Ed's problem. I was also interested at that time. I was vice president of council, and I have been involved with Planned Parenthood Center of Pittsburgh for many years.
And you've been very involved. Tell us about that.
I became involved with Planned Parenthood very early. So my husband was doing work there. He's head of the infertility clinic, and of course I believed in the goals and of the institution. The organization, and I liked the people. There again, I was put into contact with people completely different from those in the Jewish community. Planned Parenthood Board is made up largely of Protestant people who are very interested in the movement. A few Jewish leaders, but very few, mostly a non-Jewish group, and mostly an affluent group. And the fundraising experiences with Planned Parenthood are an entirely different kind of thing than we are familiar with in the Jewish community. But I was on their board for about 20 years, and I no longer am. And I did go to national meetings in New York, and I did go to state meetings. And I was involved in my whole federation experience has been, continues to this day.
How did you get into federation movement? What are your feelings about generally federation?
Well, I think federation is the only way to go. I think it's the most important aspect of Jewish community. And I think we have to have a federated community to administer agencies most economically and wisely. I think there has to be one umbrella movement to which every other group in Jewish life relates. Otherwise, we'd all be splintered off, going our own ways and fighting amongst each other. I think it's a great opportunity to get a consensus. It's a compromise situation whereby people of perhaps different views have to come together and do what is thought to be best for the community. And it's the most effective way of fundraising. I got into it very early. I was campaign chairman, it says here, of the United Jewish Federation in 1952. I was very young. The fact that I was asked to be campaign chairman when I was so young and inexperienced is a sad commentary on the way things were at that time. It was very difficult to mount a campaign then. The women's group was very, very early. Of course, this was 52. In 1948, a war in Israel and the establishment of the state was the impetus for the federated campaign. But there had never been a women's division, you see. And there was no continuity and there was no training. And Lois Reisenstein and Leon Fall came to our house one day and talked to Will and me and asked me to be chairman. I can't remember at this point what I had done before that to even warrant their coming. But because I always became excited about the cause and never really took my time to look into what the job possibility might be, I took it and learned on the job because I really had very little experience. So that I was chairman in 52 and 60 and a co-chairman in 53. I was very involved with it in the years when we didn't have staff. We had no women's division. We were just doing a women's campaign. And then because my husband was involved with Montefiore Hospital, and I was made to feel that my responsibilities in the community lay with hospital aid.
You were made to feel
that? Yes, I was made
that
to feel.
That you were implying that.
I'm implying that I didn't feel that way, particularly because I was interested. I was involved in council, and I had done nothing for hospital aid. And I really was made to feel that I owed some volunteer activity to the hospital, and that was right. And I couldn't do both. And the children were small, and I was PTAing all that. So I became active in hospital aid instead of council. And then I became president 57 to 59. So I would say that in those years, PTA and Federation and Hospital Aid were the primary
activities. You still maintain an interest in council other than being a member?
Just as a member. I was not a committee chairman or I had been a vice president. I had been chairman of what we called adult education. We used to have very interesting programs at the Y. Adult education programs, which were discontinued because there were too many other things going on in the city. Then Carnegie Institute started things, and the university was offering many programs, and we discontinued that type of thing. And of course, once you're involved, you get asked to be on all kinds of things. And I have been on the board of the American Jewish Committee. Then Alan went to Shadyside from fifth grade on, and I was on the Shadyside Mothers Association treasurer. They always gave the Jewish woman the job of treasurer. And through Federation, I became involved in the United Fund as a representative and continued
on. You became very involved in the United Fund.
Right. Federation has always asked, the United Fund always tries to have some representation from the Jewish community. And so I served on their board. And then, of course, if you're on the board, you really have an obligation to help in their fundraising. So that I did serve as an area coordinator one year, and as the Shadyside area campaign chairman, and as a consultant another year, and last year as a member of their special gifts and foundations solicitation. My board term is over, so I'm no longer part of that. Right now, I'm involved in another project at Pitt, which is keeping me busy, and
what's
which
that?
Is too long to even go into.
Oh, you have to tell us about it.
Well, are you coming to the end? In the years that I worked at Pitt, I was, of course, in contact with Ruth Crawford Mitchell, who was the founder of the Nationality Committee. When Dr. Litchfield came, she resigned and became emeritus. She was up in years.
She wrote a book.
She has always been involved in many projects. She's a fascinating woman who is now 85 years old and still going strong. She became involved in the publishing of a book.
I know.
It was written by Monsignor Fusco, and it has to do with the life of a woman, the first woman in the world who ever received a degree from a university, and it's this Elena Lucrezia Piscopia, Cornara Piscopia, whose life story was written by a local Catholic, Monsignor Fusco, who has since been killed. The Hunt Foundation is publishing this book because of his friendship with Rachel Hunt. They were bibliophiles, and this is Mitchell's a bibliophile. The Bibliophile Society is very interested. Anyhow, the book is being published.
What's the name?
It's Elena E-N-A, Lucrezia,
Rezia,
Cornaro, Piscopia.
Would you mind spelling those last two?
Cornaro, Piscopia, Piscopia.
Piscopia.
I have the dates. It's the dates of her life. 16. Oh, I'll give you that. But anyhow, this thing has grown because in 1978, there will be a celebration of her death, 300 years. She died in 1678. The book is important because it highlights the education of women and a woman who defied tradition and the mores of the times and got a degree by becoming part of the Benedictine order and living a very secluded life. She was called an oblate, which is the step under being a nun. She lived in the order of the Benedictines, and she was buried there. And the book is a rare book edition that has been distributed to libraries of college.
Excuse me.